This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. The bigger picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Daily Digest. I'm T. Xiao Ik and Juliet Jacobs is in the studio with me this hour. We have two stories for you. First up, why do people deface art? And we're discussing this because the defacing of the COVID-19 heroes mural in Shah Alam earlier this week sparked strong criticisms from both netizens and the authorities. And we want to look at why do people turn to vandalizing or defacing artworks in the first place. And so we'll be discussing the psychology and politics of defacing art.
Yes, and in our second story, do you want to live in a city where most, if not all, of your essential needs are within a 15-minute walking or cycling distance? So a report by C40 Cities points that this model might just be what we need to boost local economies amidst economic losses across the world during this pandemic. And in line with that, we have a Twitter poll running and we're asking you whether staying in a 15-minute city would improve your quality of life. So just take that poll, a simple yes or no. You can tweet us at BFM Radio or you can send us any thoughts via WhatsApp at 018-789-8899.
Okay, so we'll be discussing that as our second story. But first, as I mentioned, on Monday, news of a public mural in Shah Alam being defaced began circulating on social media, and that really sparked an outcry amongst many Malaysians. So the mural in question was the COVID-19 Heroes mural by Muhammad Suhaimi Ali, Abdul Hadi Ramli and Muhammad Firdaus Nordin. And that mural depicted six Malaysian leaders, including our Yang di-Pertuan Agong, our Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, past President Datuk Sri Abdul Hadi Awang, Health Director General Datuk Dr. Noor Hisham Abdullah, Senior Minister Datuk Sri Ismail Sabri Yaakob and Islamic Affairs Minister Datuk Zulkifli Muhammad Al-Bakri. The mural became popular earlier this month when it went viral online, and you would have seen even the Agong and Dr. Noor Hisham themselves visited it and they took pictures and posed in front of it.
They did. It was very sweet. But, yeah. You know, since Monday, CCTV footage and stills of two individuals defacing the mural with red paint have been circulating online. So these show what appear to be two women walking up to the mural and spraying words across it with spray paint cans. They then disappear down the alley where the mural is and back out onto the main road. So based on images of the defacement, the eyes of the Agong, Abdul Hadi and Dr. Noor Hisham were crossed out with the red paint and offensive words were also scrawled on or near them. The police are currently investigating the incident under section 504/427 of the Penal Code. Meanwhile, the Shah Alam City Council has painted over the defaced murals.
While we don't yet know about the perpetrators of this defacing or their intentions behind it, the incident got us thinking about the very act of defacing or vandalizing art and the various reasons or motivations behind those actions. So we tend to react pretty strongly to incidences of art being attacked. And I think that's because there's really something quite shocking about it, isn't
right,
it?
Yeah.
And while in some cases it is the work of individuals with mental health issues, but in many others, it is an intentional act by individuals to send out a particular message. And I think, you know, what I find disturbing about these acts of defacing artworks is just the fact that you've destroyed the efforts of another person or another artist or several artists. And it's such a... there's just something so crude about it.
For me, it's very heartbreaking. I mean, whether or not you agree with whatever the art piece is, there are ways of dealing with it. You can go and paint your own
opposing
murals with your own heroes, if you don't agree with it. I mean, in this case, for example. But destroying something that you know a lot of effort to... it took a lot of effort to make, that's really heartbreaking for me.
And
you know, just a quick history lesson, the term vandalism was created in 1794 by Henri Gregoire, the Bishop of Blois in France, to describe the destruction of artwork after the French Revolution. So the term has its roots in the invasion of Rome by the Vandals tribe in 455, which resulted in the destruction of numerous Roman artworks. So the term spread quickly across Europe and is now, of course, used worldwide to refer to the action of deliberate destruction or damage of any public or private property.
Yeah, so the act of vandalizing and defacing artworks is something that seems almost as old as the history of art itself. And what is equally interesting is the variety of reasons behind the defacement and vandalism. So in some cases, it is the artwork itself that provokes anger, such as the controversial painting of the Virgin Mary by British artist Chris Ofili in 1999, where he used elephant manure to decorate the painting. And the painting was vandalized with white paint while being shown in the Brooklyn Museum. In other cases, it can also be a protest against what the artwork represents. So for instance, last year, acclaimed street artist Banksy's mural depicting homelessness in Birmingham was defaced by fellow artist Hers, and who said she did it because the original work was all about homelessness, but then lots of money was being spent on guarding it.
Okay. Well, justified, I suppose. In other cases, defacing or damaging a high-profile piece of art has been used to bring attention to other political agendas. So, for example, in one of the most well-known cases of art vandalism, Diego Velázquez's 1651 masterpiece, The Rugby Venus, was slashed with a meat cleaver in 1914 in the London National Gallery by women suffragist Mary Richardson. So, her reason for it, she revealed, was to protest the arrest of fellow suffragette Emmeline Pankhurst. Mm-hmm. And similarly, in 1974, a disabled woman spray painted the Mona Lisa while it was being displayed at the Tokyo National Museum as a protest against the museum's lack of access for people with disabilities.
Ooh.
Wow. And most recently, during the George Floyd protest, the public sculpture Serve and Protect in Utah in the US was vandalized. So that sculpture is of a large pair of hands representing the service of the police, and it was splashed with red paint so that the hands appeared bloodied. And this was done, of course, to draw attention to police brutality.
Mm. Sometimes the attacks on artworks are done by artists themselves in the name of either responding to the art or creating their own form of art. So in 1996, and for those of you with less than strong constitutions, you might want to just listen to something else for a bit. So in 1996, Canadian artist Jubal Brown vomited primary colours on artworks by Raoul Dufy and Pierre Mondrian to make a statement about what he called oppressively trite and painfully banal art. So what Brown did was he ate food with a lot of food colouring like cake icing and gelatin and then literally vomited onto the works.
Dear.
I know. Okay. I'm sorry for those of you who've just eaten lunch or are eating now. Another example is French artist Rindy Sam, who left a lipstick kiss on Cy Twombly's painting Phaedrus because she said it makes the work more beautiful. And quite famously, last year at the Art Basel in Miami, New York, artist David Datuna removed and ate the banana from Maurizio Cattelan's $120,000 artwork, which, by the way, was a banana duct taped to a wall. So Datuna called that act performance art. Very arguable,
yes. But there are other cases of art being vandalized and defaced here in Malaysia too. So just earlier this month, a statue of the founder of Georgetown, Captain Francis Light, at Fort Cornwallis in Penang had red paint thrown on it, though the reason for it has not quite been established yet. And in June last year, a mural created in honour of late firefighter Muhammad Adib Muhammad Kasim in Section 15 of Shah Alam was also defaced with spray paint as well.
Yep. But in a rare case of a local incident actually having a known response, there is the example of the 2016 mural in Georgetown called Burning, where graffiti artist Cloak Work depicted traffic poles as cigarette butts with the message, "Only you can stop air pollution." Now, the work was later defaced by local artist Bibi Chun, who sprayed an expletive on the work as a protest against its message. Bibi Chun's expletive and Cloak Work's message have both been covered up as a compromise so that the work now reads, and I quote, "Only you can stop."
Well, that's an art battle.
Stop what?
I'm not sure. It's some strange art battle going on there. But, you know, just to get more insight into this issue, we have on the line Malaysian artist Ajim Jaksta. So thank you so much for joining us, Ajim. As an artist, what is your immediate reaction when you hear of artworks being defaced?
I feel disgusted as a fellow artist that is something that I don't want, you know, to happen to your work.
And what do you think is behind the motivation to deface artworks?
I think it has something to do with, you know, like with the notion of trying to be like, you know, to express their thoughts in this world where everyone is doing that through social media and all, but when it is something to deface something like that, it's taking things to another level. And I think it's possible that that person is dealing with issues on their own to be able to do something like that. Mm. Yeah, but it doesn't it doesn't give any justification on what they did.
So then what do you think is an alternative way to express your disagreement with an artwork?
If you're an artist yourself, you can be expressive by doing art. You can find other platforms to do that. You know, of course, there are social medias out there, but I think to have a healthy conversation or communication with people regarding issues if they have disappointments on current issues that are happening in our country, that I think it's better, you know, like to have clear communications and a platform to express.
And you also hear about some people saying that the defacement is its own form of art, either as protest art or performance art. What do you think about that?
I think that there has to be some kind of limitations. You know, like I do have a lot of friends doing graffiti and murals. And some of them, they do take, vandalism as a form of expression. But you don't see them going around and using those words, and especially to deface someone, as important as Yang di-Pertuan Agong. That's why I'm saying this is another level of expression, because it is. I think it doesn't justify. You can call it whatever you want, you know. Even as an artist, yes, you can express whatever you like, mm-hmm. but this is for me. Intolerable.
And why do you think the general public responds so strongly to incidences of art being defaced?
I think it was because of the subject matter, because to my experience, like, there are a lot of other works being defaced, being destroyed, such as Syed Ahmad Jamal's sculpture back then, mm-hmm. by DBKL themselves. So mm-hmm. I think it's just a matter of perception, society, the appreciation. Sometimes it's not about the art, it's not about the work, it's about the subject matter, it's about, what went on viral and stuff like that. Can you imagine if it is a mural by someone else and being defaced, it could be like the issue won't be as big. That's my thought as an artist. This is very subjective. It is really depends on personal point of view on this. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it's society in general. Because this thing went viral, like days prior to, like, because of COVID-19, because of the issues, and I think when something like that happened, of course it started an uproar, but. I'm not surprised in a way. I'm not sure why, but I have to say that it is expected to happen. I just didn't expect it to happen too soon.
So, do you think we need to have a larger conversation around the vandalism of art when it happens?
Yeah, I think conversation is one thing, but I think we have too much conversations but less action being taken. The thing is, the appreciation on arts is still low in Malaysia. Just look at how we are dealing with issues pertaining, art workers, artists in general in Malaysia compared to other countries. Like, the amount that we spend, actually, we can't even compare to Singapore. You can't even compare. We compare to other countries. So I think that's just like it mirrors our appreciation towards arts. So, when something like this happened, you can trace back to education. We can trace back to our society, like our appreciation on the arts are not as high, especially in this troubled times, because people turn to art for entertainment, for something that they have to like. Go to comfort themselves in these trying times. But I still think that the appreciation is still low.
So that was artist Ajim Jagstar giving us his view on the defacing of artworks. Thanks for speaking to us, Ajim. And really, you could hear how upset he was by the act of these vandals or any act of vandalism towards an artwork, right?
Yeah.
I guess for an artist, it's particularly painful to see it happening.
Mm-hmm. I remember reading, though, that, you know, the people who do it, they do it because they know it will get such a reaction because it's such a powerful sort of they know that it will get them the attention that they've been maybe they've not been able to get, you know, through other various means, for example. So I'm not condoning it. I'm just, who knows, right?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. And then the idea of a larger conversation around the issues that you're protesting against is important because marginalized communities or marginalized people feel that that's like the only way they can get attention, then something is wrong as well.
Exactly. So larger conversations need to happen.
But again, the obscenities, you know, I can't see how that can be condoned at all.
Mm-hmm. So that obviously came from a place of anger. So that's a whole other conversation that needs to be dealt with, I suppose. Yeah,
that's right.
Hopefully in better,
more civil manner.
Civil manner, yeah.
Yeah. That's all the time we have for this story. We'll be coming back after the break with our second story, but continue to tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 0187898899 if you have anything you'd like us to share. So we will break for a few short messages. But first, here's Rodriguez with This Is Not a Song, It's an Outburst, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.